to Glimmer of Genius episode 16. This is a podcast all about Magic the Gathering, bringing you the latest happenings in the MTG community, from news to tournament reports, deck ideas to MTG finance. We are Glimmer of Genius. If you'd like to learn more about the show, then check us out on Facebook at Glimmer of Genius with capital G's. Leave a comment or a question for the show and become part of the conversation. My name's Luke Vincent and I make YouTube videos. On the line with me is Level 2 Judge Grant David and MTG Trader Simon Wright. Or at least they normally are. However, today is a little bit different. Due to conflicting schedules, we're unable to record this week, so we've had to take a little trip back in time. Around March of this year, there was a judge conference in Brighton, and Grant and Simon were both there. We recorded their experience, but we couldn't fit it into that week's show. Not wanting you to miss out, we've used it to form today's episode. Nor service will resume ready for next episode, but in the meantime, and in true Blue Peter fashion, here's something we made earlier. Okay, so I'm going to hand over to Grant to talk a little bit about a judge conference that has happened, was it last weekend? Grant?
Yeah, it was this weekend just gone, yeah.
Yeah, so talk about, if you could talk about that for us, because I have no idea what would be involved in such a thing.
So, for those of you that are local and listen to this, you might have actually been there, because I saw a lot of people that I've recognised just in Dicerland, because it was held, obviously, in Dicerland, in Brighton. For those of you that don't know, every year, judges will have a conference, normally in a sort of central location like London or Birmingham or whatever. And that will be nationwide, so that's UK and Ireland, technically South Africa, but we rarely get people from South Africa, obviously. And we'll go and talk about, for a day or two, if it's a national one, about topics. And obviously that varies. Generally, they're always useful in one way or another. I went to my first one when I started being a judge, so about 2-3 years ago. Everything, of course, was new, and some of it was not that helpful to me, because it was about stuff like a GP, which obviously I hadn't done until now. But of course, as they've gone on, they've become increasingly useful, where some of it's quite familiar, but then stuff like, you know, advice at GPs, of course, is suddenly more useful to me. Mm. Obviously, that's the kind of stuff that's not worth me talking about, because most people listening to this aren't going to be judges. But one of the things we talked about, actually, at the last National Judge Conference, because it was just when Calidress came out, and obviously this judge conference, because it's still very relevant, was about tournament shortcuts. So, like I said, I've just picked one topic out of the judge conference to talk about. But we were talking a lot about the philosophy behind it and how judge calls tend to get interpreted, and just trying to sort of standardise it in a way so that players obviously get a fair experience in terms of if they mess up or, you know, if their opponent does something that's unclear, just to clarify it. So obviously, like, the main one that's causing a lot of confusion is the whole go-to-combat thing. So if you're not familiar with the reasoning behind this, if you're trying to attack with a man, land or a vehicle and your opponent wants to stop you from doing that, it's not really fair for you to say, I'm going to stop being in my main phase now and go into my combat phase, and then sort of try and bait the opponent out to try and do something like tap all your creatures down, because then you can go, oh, okay, you know, after that's happened, I'll then crew stuff, or in response crew stuff, and then, you know, get through with my sneaky things because I was, you know, tricksy and baited you out and stuff. That's not really what we want to do, particularly because, again, if you're not familiar with intricacies of the way combat and priority and stuff works, as the active player, as the obviously the guy that's attacking, you can stop the game whenever you want because it's your turn. Well, the other player, who's obviously going to try and mess up your stuff, is the person that kind of requests for you to stop what you're doing and can intervene. And if you're, you know, your main phase straight to when you're declaring attackers, it's only fair if they can stop the game when they want to. So stop people being baited out, basically. Particularly with vehicles, but technically it was relevant when man lands were about as well, but yeah. With vehicles it's become infinitely more prevalent, is that when you say go to combat, it means that you're ready to declare attacks, and if you want to crew stuff or whatever, it's too late. So if you want to crew stuff or you want to activate man lands, do it in your main phase, and then if your opponent wants to respond, then they can. And of course you can technically, you know, you could crew stuff in response still if you wanted to then, but it means you're not baiting out your opponent. And basically the main thing to take away from this was, it doesn't really matter how you say it. Like, if, you know, some people were saying, like, oh, you know, I've been to this event and the judge was okay with me saying, like, oh, I'll end my main phase, whatever. But effectively, that's saying the same thing, really. Mm. And you need to make sure that you are just being as clear as possible, because, as I've said, every time I've posted it, a PPTQ or whatever, at the start of the event, I've just said, make sure you're being very clear. Just try and crew everything before you go to combat and you won't have a problem at all. It's when you start trying to mess up that phrase and play that, you know, that line to try and get some weird advantage, that you're going to probably have a bad time and get a judge call, rightfully go against you probably. So it's just about being aware of how that all works. And, you know, at this conference, particularly those that hadn't really seen this come up much, asked the question, oh, how does that work with stuff like Toolcraft Exemplar? Now, of course, Toolcraft Exemplar, if you're not familiar with that, has a trigger that is at the start of combat. And I believe, again, I'm not much of one for watching Pro Tour stuff, but apparently there was one with whatever that Rakdos colour card is. So I can't remember. Is it World Fast Engineer, I think it is?
Plus two to target creep, to artifact or something, is it?
Yeah, plus creature. I think it's at the start of combat, one of your artifact creatures get +2/+0, basically. Yeah. So the issue here for both of those cards is that, of course, it's a trigger at the beginning of combat. So someone's saying, like, oh, if I say go to combat, surely I'm saying I want to trigger these cards. And, of course, that's the issue, because if you say go to combat and then wait, you know, you could, again, the judge and many judges have this situation gone, oh, you've probably baited this person out or whatever. And I think the Pro Tour thing in question, again, I'm not massively familiar with myself, was that both players didn't have English as a primary language. And he said, go to combat in terms of, I want to trigger this and choose a target for it. Are you going to do anything before I choose a target? Of course, didn't, you know, put that across well enough. So, again, this is what I tend to have in my judge announcements at the start of every PPTQ I do. If you do have a Toolcraft Exemplar, or more unlikely, this Wellfast Engineer, if you're trying to go to combat, just do that as part of your, you know, your whole phrase. So for me, when I've used the Toolcraft Exemplar and say a Sky Sovereign, which obviously needs my Toolcraft Exemplar to trigger before it can crew the thing, I will just go trigger my Toolcraft Exemplar at the beginning of combat. Because, okay, yeah, sure, some players don't like the fact you're being nice and clear about it, or, you know, they can respond to it, but they can respond to it regardless. And, you know, say if you've got a crew one creature, well, artifact, so like Aethersphere Harvester, and you've got a Sky Sovereign, and you're thinking in your head, oh, I don't want to say trigger this Toolcraft Exemplar, because then my opponent will go, oh, you know, I forgot it was a trigger, maybe I can kill it or whatever. But of course, say if I go crew my Sky Sovereign and then they kill it in response, you can, just because it's not obviously a 3-2, yeah, you can just, oh, okay, I'll crew my Aethersphere Harvester instead. So all the things that you would have been able to do if you somehow, you know, didn't announce things clearly, you can still do.
Oh.
So you can still respond to that. That's still a thing that happens. The issue is, of course, just when priority happens and what phase you're in. That's the problem in this. You can still respond to stuff. It's just what phase you're in is the problem here.
Yeah. This is why I decided not to take the judge exam.
Yeah. So, again, it's, you know, anyone listening to this, feel free to come find me and we can talk about it, because this is a topic that you can easily talk 10, 15 minutes about. But the advice I'd give to people, and I think basically the advice from this judge conference, without spending too much time on it, was basically saying, if you want to activate manland, or if you want to crew stuff, do it in your main phase, then say you're going to combat. If you've got something that's got a trigger at the beginning of combat, just say, this is triggering now. Because then, you know, if they want to respond to stuff, they can do that. You're not even giving anything away, because stuff like Wellfast Engineer, or, to go back a bit, the Surak that gave stuff haste, if you have Ferocious, that technically had a target as well. You could just go trigger this, and then if they want to stop you before you go to combat, you don't have to say the target then. You do if it is triggering, but if they want to stop you before it gets to that, then you can just go trigger, and then they can respond. You're being nice and clear. Mm. You know, even someone who hasn't got English as their first language, you can easily just say to them, don't say combat, say trigger, and then that, you know, makes it nice and clear. And there were certainly lots of judge calls like that I had to get another judge to say in Spanish or whatever language to players at GP Barcelona as to why that wasn't allowed. But yeah, if you're not aware of this issue, it's something definitely to be aware of, certainly.
I think the key thing is, like you said, is just clarity. And
yes,
I think a lot of people can get annoyed when they think, well, I don't want to have to say certain things because there's a small chance my opponent might make a mistake and that gives me an edge. But
exactly. This is what I mean, the line.
I don't know. I think, well, yeah, when you're playing a game, you want to try and, you know, you want to win that game. You want to have every edge, every advantage that you could have to win that game. But at the same time, you've got to create an environment that people want to play the game and not getting messed about by some silly wording. And
that is
just as important as, you know, that individual. No, it's more important than an individual trying to win the game. It's got to be enjoyable for everybody and understandable and accessible.
That's quite funny.
It's a numbers and tactics game, not a game of semantics. It's not a word game. That's not what it's about.
No.
So I joined there was a Facebook discussion the other day. There was someone asked, it was their first ever PPTQ. And I just put on the Facebook for it. It was just my first one. What should I be prepared for? How should I get ready? And I wouldn't usually bother replying, but I was a bit drunk and thought I was being helpful. I sort of just said, you'll have to pre-register your deck. Don't forget to de-sideboard. And the last one, it's competitive. Some people will be dicks. And I got a bit of a backlash from that from a few people. But the thing that they said was, following rules isn't being a dick. And I didn't say, you know, being a stickler for the rules. I just make a general attitude towards enforcing them. And the thing is, it's like trying to bait people out, I think, is quite a dickish move.
There's certainly a spectrum.
Yeah.
If it's someone's first ever PPTQ, you know, I reckon that's a good warning, really.
I think that's a good warning.
My experience, attitudes that you're not used to at your normal FMM, you might get them at the FMM, but not to such an extent. Yeah, and I think it's new players entering the competitive format need to be aware of, so it doesn't ruin their experience.
Yeah. Behaving is entirely separate to trying to get rules right. I mean, I've played against people that have just been awful people, and they've continued to be that way until it's certain they're about to win, and then their demeanor changes and they're all of a sudden your best friend, and you think, oh, you were just dreadful a minute ago, and now you're being all nicey, and you just think it's just completely fake and irritating, and other people just are like that anyway. I think you're gonna get it in all walks of life, aren't you? But yeah.
Yeah, I had that at GP London this year. What's last year? I was 5-0 in the seal event going into round 6, and I was like, I got rules by the black and white gear holes, and with ways to recur them. So I had a pretty nuts deck, and I got both of them out twice, game one, and the guy still won, and he was in the best mood ever. He was so happy, but of course the next 2 rounds just played out exactly the same. I crushed him. And he just changed to a totally different person. It was I was chuffed, I was 6-0. But it was quite an attitude swing. You know, I thought it wasn't anything I'd particularly done. It was just the way the games played out and the luck of the deck I had, I guess.
That's what the game's about, you know. So.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but yeah. I hope you've done well in the rest of the tournament. He was unlucky to come across me with my deck.
A lot of it can be people's, I don't want to say inability, but how they handle bad situations like that. Like I get a bit more vocal when I'm playing Magic Online because I know I'm on my own and no one can hear me and it's fine. But I've had situations where you lose a game out of nowhere and you've made every play that you think was right. And you think, I've played around this card and I've done this and I should be okay. And then something happens and you're like, what? So I think one of the games I played, I basically drew, I was like, I just needed one burn spell and I won. And then I just drew, over 4 turns, I just drew 4 lands in a row. And I'm just sitting there like just raging, just like, but it happens. You can't be annoyed. And I'm not going to be like, I've had people say to me sometimes like online, like in the chat, whatever, oh, you got lucky. And it's like, well,
that's what the game's about.
Yeah, like that will happen.
Well, this brings me back to what I wanted to say as well. Like, you obviously, like you said, you're more vocal when you're playing Magic Online and you're raging or whatever. You wouldn't do that if you were playing against a human in person.
No.
This is the thing. Because you get this a lot, particularly with the whole go to combat thing. As a player, you know, some people will sometimes say, as like an argument in terms of why they don't like this whole go to combat thing, will say to a judge, oh, but it works in Magic Online. Or, oh, it's not like that, you know, I don't have this problem with Magic Online or whatever. And I just want to, on behalf of most judges, say that basically I think we'd consider Magic Online an entirely different game to Magic the Gathering played on paper, because people aren't computers and they're not robots, therefore it doesn't work the same way, they're not comparable. And as you just said, your behaviour is entirely different playing it online as it is in person. Yeah. So again, if someone really doesn't like the whole go-to-combat thing and they prefer playing Magic Online, then I suggest they just play Magic Online then.
Because
there are certain rules and expectations that you need to do in person, and that's why they're there, unfortunately. So to me, they are entirely different games. And I love Magic, but I can't stand Magic Online. So
no, I've broken two laptops to Magic Online. I've never broken an opponent's face, though. Definitely a difference.
Oh, brilliant. Anything else about the judge conference that you wanted to talk about or that came out that was particularly noteworthy?
Every few sets, there always seems to be something that comes up that makes players more aware. I'll rephrase that. That requires most players to be more aware of the rules than perhaps they were before, because of their misunderstanding something really punishes them. In this situation, they might miss a whole combat step or whatever. And I think it's our job as judges to make sure that this is really clear. And one thing that you know, most judges will do, myself included, at the same pre-release, is just make sure that people understand how all the mechanics work.
Because, yeah,
you know, stuff like particularly improvise is quite a funny one, and some people don't like the way it's worded, but the way it's worded is to make sure it's as clear as possible, and even then it's still a bit confusing in terms of what it means.
I remember that. Sorry, I was just going to say, I remember seeing comments on social media about people saying, the wording of this is so bad, it's so ugly. And I just remember thinking, does it really actually matter? How often do you read a magic card? You read it maybe two or three times, and then you understand what it does, and then you probably no longer read it. Like, does it really matter?
If it's one of the new masterpieces, you're not reading it at all, are you?
No.
The issue with improvise is technically, in terms of magic speak and the way magic is phrased, you could word it a lot simpler. But this is the thing. Literally every time I've had a conversation with someone who is sort of like, oh, I don't like the way it's worded, it's a bit, like, they're making it a bit too obvious. I've said, oh, can you explain to me, like, how Convoke works? Like, because, you know, it's similar to that, where Convoke wasn't clear enough. And every time I've said, for example, with Eldrazi Silence, you can't tap them to make it cost cheaper and then sacrifice them for mana. You can't do that with Convoke. You used to be able to, but they changed soon after the rule came out. And every time the person gone like, oh, really? Can you not do that? And I said, exactly. That's why improvise is worded like that, because it wanted to make sure that you knew you could sack artifacts for mana after tapping them for mana as well.
Yep.
And that's why it's worded like that, just to clarify. So it means that if judges aren't there, people will still get the idea.
No, it makes sense.
Exactly. Again, it doesn't make the card any worse. Just it adds a, well, it just makes it more like a sentence rather than the way cards are normally phrased, I guess, and that's fine, I guess.
Yeah.
One of the things I did like about the judge conference was, I wasn't there as a judge, but I was there as a trader on the wall. They were asking sort of, what do you hear when a player shouts judge, or what does a player hear when they hear someone shout judge? And I think the guy giving the speech was always dread. And that's my first thought. What have I done? They want to get the judge. They seem to want to get the judge's opinions about what players. I think the other question was, what do players hate most about Magic tournaments?
Yes.
And I had to bite my tongue from shouting out judges. I think the answer came, they do a great job. I think the answer came out, it was waiting. It was having to wait around for rounds to start and just being more organised. As a fly on the wall, I thought it was a really unique experience. I could only hear bits of what was going on.
Yeah.
I thought it was all very interesting.
Again, this is the kind of stuff that would probably concern some players who play competitively, but the most of it would just be like only them and judges effectively. But again, it's that making sure that everyone is aware that, particularly if they haven't played at an event before, that calling a judge doesn't mean that you're instantly going to get punished. It means that you're making someone who's, well, there to stop the rules from getting too broken to try and fix it before it gets to a situation where the game can't be recovered, basically, or just to make sure that things run smoothly.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, if say, you know, you're a super competitive player, I'm a new player, and I mess something up already, and I know I've done something wrong, but I don't really know what to do, and you just instantly put your hand up and yell judge, I'm suddenly going to be like, what have I done wrong? It's like someone calling the teacher on me at school kind of thing. Yeah. And again, that's what we're kind of trying to move away from. And I remember one of our conversations actually at a conference was, is judge the right word? Because it instantly, of course, means we're judging you. You're being judged. So would it be better to call us like umpires or referees or whatever? And then, of course, it came up with a situation that in terms of referees, they don't have like all black like we have, and some of the tournament centre tournaments, they have like, I think it's grey and or blue and stripes, and a lot of people have said that the shadow of like an all black character looming over the table is quite imposing. So this is actually a good conversation about what colours would be less sort of threatening. And again, just this about changing the outlook of players towards judges, and just, you know, being aware that we're here to make sure that everyone has a fair time and the game is as it should do, not to punish people. And what the philosophy was behind it all, basically. I mean, for those of you that can remember like a bad call you've got, unless a judge has done something super wrong, I would suggest if you look at the infraction procedure guide that us judges use to rule stuff, if you're this way inclined, particularly if you're quite competitive, every section has like a philosophy bit at the bottom. So for instance, if you really don't understand at all why this whole go to combat thing makes sense, if you look at the philosophy section under a lot of these different bits for penalties, effectively, it'll explain like why you have to punish this or why you have to fix it this way and how this can be exploited and why it's important and stuff. So if you are, you know, often finding yourself annoyed by certain judge calls or certain rulings, like say, you know, mistriggers and why that's bad or whatever, I would suggest you look at that, because it's really useful to read that philosophy section and what goes through our minds when we're trying to reason what to do and what not to do.
Yeah,
the rules are there for a reason, and yeah. So Simon, was there anything from your attendance there that you wanted to discuss?
It was a weird one for me. I wasn't sure whether to go or not, because it was a judge conference. It wasn't a magic event. I know judges are magic players. I didn't know what the etiquette was for such a thing, if they're used to having traders at their conferences. But I chatted to the shop owner first, and he was just like, yeah, go down. You know, they're magic players. They might want some cards. One of the judges was like, yeah, some might want some cards, like some really obscure foils or whatever. So yeah, might as well set up. So I gave it a go, because I didn't want to be anyone's face. I just sort of set up just before their lunch break and just sat out by the side. I didn't really get much interest at all, apart from someone wanting a random, obscure return to Ravnica for them. That was it. It was interesting just to be there on the sideline and see what was going on, what was being discussed. Got to pick up a few judge promos, which is always nice.
There's a lot of that.
Judge conference, yeah. But I thought I might as well go. It was 30-odd judges, most of whom have never been to the shop before. So it was the first time. There's a lot of people that would have seen my binders, and a lot of people are quite pleased to see my binders for the first time. So I thought I'd give it a go. As I said, there wasn't much interest, but maybe if they host it again, you never know. There might be more next time, especially if I turn up on time.
Yeah, it's not a massive thing that normally happens, because unless the judge conference like goes into the evening, you don't actually end up playing much magic at all. So it's not like a GP event where, you know, people need cards for some reason. But, you know, if you're going to be there anyway, then I think, you know, you're probably going to get a few deals from people, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all for now from us. Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoy the show, then follow us on Facebook. That's @LimitOfGenius with capital G's. Show your support by liking the page or subscribing to us on the podcast website, which is limitofgenius.podbean.com. This helps out the show, and make sure you don't miss an episode. We can also be found on the MTGcast network, which is mtgcast.com. If you're looking for even more MTG content, then check out my YouTube channel, Vincent Games. I upload weekly videos from gameplay to vlogs, and it would be great to see you there. In the meantime, thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more.